Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, this is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hope for Your Heart. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. And we're going through a series talking about joy and how we can remain joyful. We're looking at the book of Philippians. And so yesterday we talked about habits of joy. And today I want to talk to you about the gift of joy. Now, this joy that God gives us is a gift that He gives. And as you think about life, what is the difference between a Christian who is attacked and he still has his joy versus one who is attacked and their joy turns into bitterness? A difference is this. One is spirit-controlled and surrendered to the Spirit, and the other is not. They both have everlasting life. I'm not doubting that. But one has the abundant Christian life and the other doesn't. To be filled with the Spirit, we must be emptied of ourselves. Jesus put it this way in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it to the fullest, or that you may have it to the abundance. You see, well, God uses evil for good. Satan uses good for evil. Erasmus observed, the devil hates nothing so much as that he should be used for good. You know, God even uses the enemy to bring joy to him and joy to our lives. Therefore, the apparent good he offers must lead to an even greater sin, or he would not offer it to us. So remember, as you're being tempted throughout life, that the enemy is going to use that to get you discouraged. But even when you fail, God wants to turn that around and turn it into good. You know, in the book of Numbers, we have an amazing, amazing story of God's power in freeing His people from Egyptian bondage. It's incredible how God set His people free. Under the leadership of Moses and Aaron and Joshua, within just a few weeks, they are set free. Now, the Egyptians were reluctant to let the Israelites go, but finally, Pharaoh sends them out. Now, the escape from Egypt was an interesting story because we discovered that the Israelites had left Egypt, but Egypt had not left them. They were blessed, but they were not free. They were still filled with rebellion, and they thought that they had righteous indignation, but in reality, they were filled with rebellion. This is how it's put in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and he follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So there's a difference here between how the majority of the Israelites came out of bondage and how Joshua and Caleb came out of bondage. There is a different spirit in Joshua and Caleb. Where did they get that spirit? That was a gift that God gave them. God gave them the gift of joy. Romans 14:17 in the New Living Translation says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or what we drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Spirit. I want you to know that God's given every one of us who know Christ the spirit of joy residing within us. The question is not, do we have the spirit of joy? The question is, are we surrendering to that gift, that spirit of joy? Are you allowing what happened in your life yesterday to serve as a way for you to be discouraged today? Are you allowing what happened to you yesterday to keep you from sharing the gospel today? I was did some research, and I'm trying to figure out who in the world are the happiest people. And so I did some research, and they have actually found out, and this is remarkable, who are the happiest people in the world? The stats show, and they're remarkable, that those who battle Down's syndrome are the happiest people in the world. 99% of those surveyed are happy with their lives. That's those with Down syndrome. 97% answered yes to the question, do you like who you are? 99% of them agreed with the statement, do you love your family? Do you know of any other group of people, any other economic status, any other educational level, any other age group, any other ethnicity, or any other geographical region who approach these high percentages? Why are these people with Down syndrome so happy? I mean, people with living with Down syndrome, they have a lot going against them. As a matter of fact, March 21 is World Down Syndrome Day. As the stats show, there is a chasm between the experience of living with Down syndrome and the perception given to future parents about how awful life with Down syndrome must be. The perception results in horrible things. And March 21, which is 3/21, is the perfect day to recognize our unique family members, neighbors, and friends, because Down syndrome includes an extra or a third copy of chromosome 21 in every cell of their body. The intimacy of Psalm 139:19 says, David writing says, God, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. It is clearly evidenced by those who have Down syndrome that God added that extra copy of chromosome 21 made of a trillion times more in a baby with Down syndrome. It has a whole lot of knitting that is taking place. Of course, I do not want to diminish or discount the hardship that they face having this disability and having all of the complications that they have in learning. And some babies with Down syndrome must get immediate surgeries for their heart defects. And there's a higher risk of childhood leukemia and other conditions. And their medical care and their therapies and their education are all expensive and very time consuming. But because of what Jesus has done in them, we can be like Paul, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 6:10 tells us, as we walk alongside with families with Down syndrome, we can feel they have this special kind of love because they are very unique with this chromosomal makeup that God has allowed them to have. So I want you to know that God wants to have a gift of joy given to you. And sometimes we wrongly think that I can only be joyful if things in my life are perfect. If things are just coming together in a perfect manner, then I'll be perfectly filled with joy. I want to tell you the story of Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was a great hymn writer in the last half of the 19th century. Though she was blind when she was just 6 weeks old, she used this phrase to describe herself. She said, "I am the happiest woman on earth." She was one of the most prolific hymnists in all of history, writing over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs, with over 100 million copies printed. This despite her being blind shortly after she was born. You look at the difficult and the distressing time that she went through, it is unbelievable. She said, "I'm the happiest woman on the earth." Is anybody seeing Jesus through your bad circumstances? Okay, let's put it a different way. When my joy is attacked, is my joy being dished out? You see, there is joy in suffering. There is joy in having difficult things come into our lives. Fanny Crosby wrote, "When I was a little girl, just 6 weeks old, in April of 1820, my eyes became sore and red. A stranger who claimed to be a doctor put hot cloths on my eyes, and although the infection went away, white scars formed over my eyes. After I couldn't see, my poor mother turned to this doctor again, and his doctor put drops of acid into my eyes, thinking they were eye drops. As I grew older, my grandmother helped me to memorize parts of the Bible. In fact, she says, even though I couldn't see, by the time I was 12 years old, I had memorized all of Genesis, all of Exodus, all of Leviticus, all of Numbers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible verses were like my friends that cheered me up whenever I felt bad about not being able to go to school. When I was 8 years old, I made up a poem and I recited it to my grandma. Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." You think about Fanny Crosby. Here's just some of the songs that she wrote that I'm sure you have heard of. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Saved by Grace. Draw Me Nearer, Lord. Safe in the Arms of Jesus. All the way my Savior leads me. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Jesus, keep me near the cross. And I am thine, O Lord. What a powerful testimony of bad circumstances being used for the glory of God. 1 Peter 3:14 says, "But even if we should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." Okay, now one of the ways I know that I'm suffering for righteousness' sake is I have this deep sense that I'm being blessed. I'm not troubled or I'm not overcome with fear. One of the ways I know that I'm suffering is because I deserve to suffer and I should suffer. But if I deserve suffering and I have earned that suffering, I lose my joy. But when I'm suffering for righteousness' sake, I understand that the gospel is being advanced. I understand that as followers of Christ are being empowered because of my suffering. Oh, I want to encourage you today. Be joy-driven. Don't live your life out of envy or rival. Don't be jealous over what other people are doing or be jealous over the gifts that other people have. Realize that God wants you to take your circumstances so that He can empower you. You know, life is filled with conflict. Life is filled with trouble. Job put it like this, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward." But I want to be like Paul, who says, "I'm not losing my joy over this. I'm actually rejoicing because the gospel is being proclaimed." Whether it's good motives or bad motives, Paul didn't really care, just as long as Jesus was being glorified. Now, Paul also wrote a letter to Timothy, and in his letter, he says, you know, in a large house, you know, a wealthy mansion, there are different kind of dishes. Some are gold and some are silver, but others are made of wood and clay. He says, some of these are really special. Others are not so special. He says, that's how it is with people. The ones who stop doing evil and make themselves pure will become special. Their lives will be holy and pleasing to their master, and they will be able to do all kind of good deeds. As we continue our study of the book of Philippians and we talk about joy, Paul is in chains, but in spite of being imprisoned, he's under a house arrest. In spite of that, the gospel is being advanced. And because of this, he rejoices. Paul even knew that some people were wrongly advancing the gospel. In other words, they were giving the gospel for their own personal gain. But Paul says, "I'm okay with that." He says, just as long as the gospel gets out. You see, the gospel is so powerful. It brings about conversion. It brings about change in people's lives that is so powerful. Even when it is proclaimed through a person who is not living according to the gospel or is using the gospel for personal gain, it doesn't diminish the power of the gospel. Many years ago, I had a couple come to me, and they were part of our church, and they were part of a previous church in which the pastor of that church fell into a moral lapse and was unfaithful to his wife and ended up losing his ministry. And so this couple was led personally by that particular pastor. And so they asked me, now this guy led us to the Lord and look at his life. Are we still saved? And I said, yes, you're not saved because of that man. You're saved in spite of that man. It's the gospel that brings about salvation. The gospel is powerful. That's why we're not ashamed of it. It's the power of God to bring about salvation to everyone who believes. And God used even a corrupt mouthpiece to give that gospel to you, but you are saved because of what Christ has done for you. Well, how can I have a different angle or a different attitude in order to maintain joy in my life? Well, I want to give you four things today I think that will really help you. We call these four factors of joy. And Paul says, Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So here is angle number one, or factor number one. Look at attacks that come to you. Look at them from God's perspective or God's angle. Philippians 1:12, and this is a New Living Translation. Paul says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, everything that has happened to me has helped me to spread the gospel. Now, and I want you to think about this. No matter what happens to you as a follower of Christ, God has a purpose to use that, good and bad, to spread the gospel. Everything that has happened to me is used to spread the gospel. Now, can you say that? Has everything that has happened to you, is it going to be used to help somebody else? In Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20, we have the story of Joseph getting toward the end of his life. And at the end of his life, Joseph meets his brothers and he reveals to his brothers that, hey, I'm Joseph. You know, the guy that you sold into slavery, the guy that you left for dead. As a matter of fact, the guy who you probably think is dead. You did some really gnarly things to me, brothers. And in Genesis chapter 50, there's this confrontation that Joseph has with his brothers. Verse 20 of Genesis 50 says, "As for you, what you did to me, you meant it for evil," talking to his brothers, "but God meant it for good, to bring about so that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Now, what is Joseph doing? Joseph is not saying, "Hey, what you did to me was good." As a matter of fact, he says just the opposite. He says, "What you did to me was very evil. You meant it for evil. You had a bad motivation in doing it. You despised me. You were jealous of me. And that's what drove you to treat me so harshly and selling me into slavery and leave me for dead and lie to my dad and saying that I was dead. All of that that you did was evil. It was pure evil. But God turned it into good." You see, God had to get Joseph into Egypt because God knew that Egypt was going to experience a famine, and God knew that he needed somebody that could have incredible integrity to tell Pharaoh the dreams that he's having, to be prepared for the famine, and to save up food so that when the famine came, there'd be plenty for all. And God uses an evil situation to get Joseph from Canaan to Egypt. You know, Romans 8:28 is a verse that we all know and we quote it often, and we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purposes. And I want you to look at that verse from a different angle, and I want you to focus on that it's for good. All things are not good, but all things work together for good. Tim Tebow said this, "I'm just thankful for everything. All the blessings in my life, trying to stay that way. I think that's the best way to start your day and to finish your day. It keeps everything in perspective." Being thankful, looking at it from God's angle. Well, let's get down and how this really affects us personally. So when problems attack me, it's a testimony to unbelievers. Remember that. When problems come your way, use that as a testimony to reach unbelievers. This is how Paul put it in Philippians 1:13. "For everyone here," and Paul's locked up, he's incarcerated, he's under house arrest, but he says, "Everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in these chains because of Christ." He's in a bad situation, but everybody knows he's in a bad situation because of Christ. Here's the second thing when you look at problems and being attacked by problems. It's an example to believers. Not only do I encourage those who don't know Christ to know Christ because of how I handle my problems, but secondly, I give an example to other believers. Verse number 14, Philippians 1. "And because of my imprisonment, most of all the believers here," get this, "have gained confidence and they boldly speak God's message without fear." Unbelievable, right? We would think that everybody would be afraid to say, "Man, you better not share the gospel because you're going to end up like Paul ended up. So don't share the gospel." But the opposite happened. They were emboldened. They saw that Paul was sharing the gospel, boldly speaking in the message without fear. And there's something about understanding how God rolls. 2016 was one of the most difficult years in my life. And I don't want to rehash everything that happened in 2016, but I sincerely hope that I handled what happened in a Christ-like fashion. I hope that my church was able to see, as we went through a course with confidence, that God was still involved, God was still on his throne, in spite of having those setbacks in our lives. Well, here's a second perspective that I want you to have, or the second factor, is never let others control your attitude. So if the first factor that we looked at today is we talked about the fact that as we are being attacked, we've got to look at it from God's angle. Secondly, we want to look at it from the attitude that we should have and never letting others control my attitude. Philippians 1:15-17. I'm just going to read the first part of this passage. Paul says, Some preach Christ because they are jealous and they are quarrelsome, but others from genuine good love. So my attitude should not be diminished just because somebody is doing something from a quarrelsome background or a driven by jealousy. Paul says the gospel is getting out. That's the attitude that I'm going to have. You know, weakness of attitude becomes weakness of character. A healthy attitude is a contagious attitude. But don't wait till you can catch it from others. Be a carrier of a good attitude. You see, your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude, said Zig Ziglar. Other people will always attempt to influence your attitude. If you tend to be a person with a bad attitude, you will be drawn to others with that same attitude, and they will feed on your negativity. If you tend to be an optimistic person, you will also be drawn to others who see the possibilities in every problem. It's harder to be an optimist. Paul was an optimist, but he was also a realist. This was his attitude. Verse number 18, Philippians 1. He says, it doesn't matter. They're going out there with wrong motives and sharing the gospel. It doesn't really matter. The important thing is that in every way, whether for right or wrong reasons, they are preaching about Christ. So I am happy, and I will continue to be happy. Well, here's the third attitude I think we need to have, and that we must trust God's antidotes when facing problems. So we have the right attitude. We have the right angle looking at our problems as God looks at our problems. Now we trust God giving us the antidote that we need as we're navigating through our problems. So we're going to drop down to Philippians 1:19. Paul says, for I know that as you pray for me, and the Spirit of Christ Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. And then we drop down to verse number 20. It is my eager expectation and my hope that I will not be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Ephesians 3:17 and 18 says, may your roots go down deep in the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. Trusting God's antidote. Paul says, I'm in a win-win situation. Christ is going to be honored in my body whether I live or whether I die. Isn't that a great attitude? You think about your enemies that come against you. I remind myself often, what is the worst thing they can do to me? The very worst thing they can do to me is take my life. And that's not so bad for the believer. If you take my life, I'm going to heaven. I remember many years ago, there was a popular pastor, and I won't share his name, but he's been gone many years. But he had an enemy, and his enemy despised him. This is way back in the 1950s, and his enemy hated him. And one day, his enemy showed up in his office with a gun. And he said to this pastor, he says, I hate you so much, I'm going to take your life right now. And he took out his gun, ready to shoot him. And the pastor just stood up, pushed the gun to the side, and says, you can't threaten me with heaven. The guy didn't know how to respond. He walked out of the room and said, I don't know what to do with this guy. No matter what I do to him, he's going to turn it into something good. God's antidote is that he is going to deliver you. And even if he does deliver you and takes you on home, what a blessing that is for us to experience. You see, we are either in the process of resisting God's truth, or we're in the process of being shaped and molded by his truth. Now, if we resist his truth, we will lose joy. As we embrace his truth, we experience joy. Well, there's one final point that I want to cover today on the broadcast. And number four is that I've got to stay focused on my purpose more than my attackers. Verses 21 through 25, Philippians chapter 1. But if by continuing to live, I can do more worthwhile work, then I'm sure which I should choose. He says, I'm pulled between two directions. I want very much to leave this life and to be with Christ, which is a far better thing. But for your sake, it is more important that I remain alive. I am sure of this, and so that I will stay. I will stay on with you to add to your progress and the joy of your faith. Hey, when you go through difficulties in your life, the first response is generally to blame somebody for it. Blame somebody for the pain that we are feeling. Most of us, however, are very slow learners. We don't learn that God allows us to go through pain, and He'll be with us every step of the way. I don't think about all the miserable things that happen, but I think of all the beauty that still remains. I find joy every day, not because life is always good, but because God is always good. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." My greater purpose is not the problems that I have. My greater purpose is to bring glory and honor to God in everything that I do, say, and think. Mark Twain said this, "Sing like no one is listening. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching, and live like it's heaven on earth." Oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as you go about your day to day, I pray that you'll adopt the attitude of Christ, and that you will adopt the attitude of realizing that life is sacred, but the most important thing is life is how we end it. May the joy of the Lord fill you today. Thank you for listening.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.